Let me bring in the political commentator, Alex Kane. Morning to you.
Morning, Stephen.
And to Andre Murphy. Morning to you, Andre.
Hiya.
Good morning, good morning. Well, Alex, you know, the DUP can't say there are no red lines anymore. A big, fat red line delivered this morning.
Yep, a whopping red line. I think partly, you and I had this conversation way back last February about the Irish language. I said I had DUP grassroots weren't being prepared across unionism. It wasn't just the DUP, but across unionism, my sense was that they did not want an Irish language act. So I'm maybe a little surprised that she's made it so bold. But in one sense, even she had no choice. Ireland, for all sorts of reasons, some of which are her fault, some of which aren't, is in a weak position. Forget the Tory stuff. She's in a weak position at home. They just all sorts of things are bubbling away in the background. It takes a strong leader to take a bold move. She's not in that position. But I agree with your first caller there. Things could change. We're not looking at any talks before October, and I think there will be. I think it's been mapped out that there will be talks. Things can happen in 3 months. Things can change. There can be shifts. A lot it depends what's happening in Northampton. It depends what's happening in a few other internal matters with the DUP. So I wouldn't say it's a dead issue. Two parties come in with one big red line. That, oddly enough, becomes your negotiating position, because up until now, Ireland has said the DUP has no red lines. It's in saying, go, you do have a red line. It's called the Irish line. No, we don't. Yes, you do. No, we don't. Ireland has now confirmed there is a red line. And it is, ironically, Stephen, in my experience, it is actually easier to negotiate when you are very clear on both sides
But here's where they've all got themselves to. Whoever's to blame, not for me to say, Alex, but how can Sinn Féin be even seen to negotiate now? Because the DUP have told them that one of Sinn Féin's basic demands, an Irish Language Act, is non-negotiable. That she hasn't left herself any room. She could have said this morning, Alex, the public know what our position is on an Irish Language Act. She is seasoned enough and experienced enough to have delivered it like that if she wanted to. She said it is non-negotiable. That leaves her no wriggle room.
Well, I guess I think that's the irony of the situation, Stephen, because. But it's an odd thing to say, but when parties are very clear, absolutely crystal clear what the red line or red lines are, they then have to make a huge decision over the next 3 months. There'll be huge pressure coming on them from everywhere, Britain, Ireland, America, all. They then have to decide within the next 3 months, are you going into talks? If they do not go into talks, if there is not a talks process in which both parties have given very clear indication they are willing to consider very difficult issues, then it goes back to what I've been saying for some time, Stephen. We may have to just face the fact that this cannot be saved. This whole process can't be saved. The Secretary of State certainly can't go on, get into October and go, oh, well, I'll keep on paying them for another few months, or maybe after Brexit, maybe later. I think we're coming to the crunch time, and maybe it's been ratcheted up by both sides simply because it will focus them in a way. They weren't focused last time because there was so much nonsense going on in the background, so much uncertainty in the background. If we start these talks on the basis of this is exactly where both parties stand, if they get into a room and talk, that's an advantage.
Then Sinn Féin would be starting the talks, Andre, with the position that the public knows they're walking into that with the DUP saying non-negotiable. Don't even put it on the table. We are not negotiating an Irish Language Act.
I think it's kind of ironic that the discussion that was then had in Good Morning Ulster was around Arlene Foster's approach to a United Ireland and her completely dismissing the idea of planning for a United Ireland because, in her view, it's never going to happen. And then she ends up in a place where she's going to completely dismiss Leo Varadkar's call for talks, saying she knows nothing about it. And then she says that there's never going to be an Irish Language Act or even discussion about an Irish Language Act. And not even recognising that the discussion around the United Ireland is around delivering rights to all of the citizens on the island. So, she doesn't even recognise that every time she denies people's rights, every time she dismisses people's identity, she adds fuel to the debate around a United Ireland. And, that her blind side around that is incredible. I think that the entire debate...
Well, hold on a minute. Yeah. If indeed that is the position of the DUP, and we saw what happened within the party when there was the suggestion of a deal or a draft deal or whatever it was, with an Irish Language Act in it. You saw what happened within the DUP. So what's wrong with Arlene Foster making it crystal clear? You are not getting an Irish Language Act. It's not happening. Move on.
And this was the failure of the Intergovernmental Conference last week. So you had the British and Irish governments together, and they did not discuss implementation of previous agreements that were intergovernmental agreements and between the parties. So the British government could have, the Irish government could have been persuaded, and the British government could have easily said, well, we made the commitment that in lack of agreement around an Irish Language Act that we would implement it. But they didn't even discuss that. And I think the failure of the two governments around those bottom line issues is very crystal clear and is part of the problem at the moment. So we're looking now at the parties arguing with each other this morning on really different things, you know, where Mary Lou McDonald is talking about the context in which to have a unity poll and the big Brexit debate and what the implications of that are. And Arlene Foster kind of retreating into this very small space of, you know, this is our red line, but we'll put up the assembly in the morning. Basically, if everyone else does what we tell them to do and we go back to the way things were, rather than recognising the complete crash that there's been and the changes that need to happen.
So if you are in a situation this morning, you're on your way to work, you're sitting at home, and you're wondering what these political parties are going to do about the education of your kids, about waiting lists which are going through the roof in Northern Ireland. And the health service, to be fair to them, have been saying, look, we need change. There's the Bengoa report to consider. If you're wondering what's going to happen to the economy, either good or bad after Brexit, how we're positioning Northern Ireland, all of those planning decisions, the consequences of the court saying that civil servants should not be taking major decisions in the absence of ministers. If you're wondering, well, this country couldn't possibly continue like that for much longer after years of talking about an Irish Language Act, this country is in a position where the DUP have sent a missile to Sinn Féin saying not negotiable, non-negotiable under any circumstances. I think it's actually worth replaying what Arlene Foster has said to everybody in Northern Ireland about even the possibility of an Irish Language Act. Here's what she told Camus this morning.
It is non-negotiable, and that has been told to Sinn Féin on a number of occasions, and yet they continue to persist while tolling the rest of Northern Ireland to ransom. The rest of Northern Ireland wants a devolved administration to deal with all of the issues that I've mentioned, and yet Sinn Féin continue to hold us out from having a devolved administration. And it's time. It is long past the time when Sinn Féin were called out for holding everybody to ransom in Northern Ireland. We need a devolved administration, and we need it today.
Ian, a warm point. Morning, Ian.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, I'm sorry to say, mate, but we're going round in circles as usual. People don't seem to understand. Sinn Féin or the DUP don't seem to care about anybody. They have basically broken between the two of them about 15 years of good work that our people actually done, and they've brought the country to a standstill, and that's what they've done.
How do you feel about it, Ian?
I think it's vile, because I have a wee boy who suffers from a disability, and because there's no money, he gets stopped every time for physiotherapy or occupational therapy, but yet between the both of them, one has done nearly away with nearly half a million. And they're fighting over that. It's not going to be the Irish Language Act. It's going to be something else. The people should call in an election and get rid of both parties. I'm sure the loyalist people, the Protestant people of this country, find another body to represent them, and the nationalist people could basically find another body to represent them. They will not agree. There's too much hate between them. When you turn around and you say to the people, it's them against us, that will never change. If you have got that mentality, that there's them against us, it's not about them against us. It's about the people of Northern Ireland. It doesn't matter what colour you are, what race you are, or where you're from. It's about the people, that they're there to represent the people. And they've got nearly £10 million, and they aren't representing anybody.
You sound angry.
It's morally wrong. If it was anywhere else, if you didn't do the job, you wouldn't get paid. And they're just destroying everybody, and they don't care. One's as guilty as the other.
Well, clearly they, you could argue that clearly they care so much that they're digging their heels in for what they care about profoundly to the pit of their soul, that this is what they care about.
Stephen, let's be honest. If you're in politics, you're not going to please everybody. But hurting everybody on both sides is morally wrong. Not everybody wants to speak Irish. You know, there's going to have to be a compromise with reason. But God love them, for two women that are supposed to be intelligent people, they're not very intelligent. They're making the people suffer. And it doesn't matter what side you come from. At the end of the day, we all have to live in. Sinn Féin's holding out for a United Ireland. They might get it in 20 years from now. But it's not now that the people are worried. It's now people need help. There's not a thing left in the country for anybody.
How old's your son?
Doctors, anything.
How old is your son?
My son is 8 years of age.
Is he suffering?
Because of the
political impasse in Northern Ireland?
Yeah. My son has got high-scale autism with severe learning difficulty. And the schools can't get him the that he needs. Because these people will not go back into government. Every day I have to fight for my son. And I'm a cure for my son, and you hear your issues regarding the homes. People going into homes and paying £700 a week, but they won't pay their loved ones, basically, to take their parents home and look after them and get a higher level of care. I'm a cure for my father as well, and they give me £62 a week for looking after both of my child and my father. And I worked for 30 years. And they pay £700, but yet they expect their own loved ones to look after them for £62 a week and say, there you go, that's a goodwill gesture. Best of luck to you, mate. You tell me what's, when they're sitting getting their 40, over 50,000 a year plus expenses. And the other boy goes from Sri Lanka. So sooner or later we'll find out one of the other crowds done something as well. The people in this country, what about?
And Alex, and Ian's clearly an angry dad today, and when you hear how he feels the political situation is impacting on his 8-year-old son, I guess I can't do any better than that in making it a real life story, Alex. But when Ian is talking about put them out, you know, it's not going to happen. The Sinn Féin, and this is the point, Sinn Féin and the DUP continue to have the overwhelming support in each of nationalism and indeed unionism. So where do we go next, Alex? They're not going anywhere.
Well, that's the dilemma, Stephen, that both parties will tell you, and I accept it and respect that they both have a mandate, but they will both tell you that they're willing to set up government tomorrow. They'll both tell you they've got difficulties with the other, that they can't do this, that and the other. And at each election, they massively increase their vote, as they up from 34% in 1998 to almost 66-67% between them. No, so they would say, Stephen, the evidence is on their side. They would say, yeah, we are doing what our voters want. But you come back to Ian, and I talk to people like Ian, not as many as you would, but almost every day somebody stops in and tells about their son or their daughter or a parent or waiting in the health service or not being able to get their kid to school or the trouble with roads and getting to work or the fear of unemployment. I hear that every day too, Stephen. And the problem with this is, and it's a simple, brutal reality. The Secretary of State takes over. Call it direct rule, call it what you want, but in the app, that's
her
job.
She's not showing any interest in taking over, is she?
That's the problem. I'm simply saying that in Ian, yes, I agree with Ian that it's the two, but we shouldn't be surprised by the two parties. We genuinely shouldn't be surprised by the two parties. I've said this for years. What I am surprised by, Stephen, and I know it's probably tied into the Conservative Party deal, when I hear the Secretary of State say, as she did yesterday, oh, we're minded to do this, we're thinking about that, we'll make sure the people in Northern Ireland get the best chance of government. The only chance, if it isn't the two parties, if it isn't the executive, I'm sorry, the only alternative is the Secretary of State. She can take a ministerial lead. She can make decisions. She can answer the problems that Ian has and all the other people I talk to have. She's choosing not to. And if you're talking about the dereliction of duty, Stephen, yeah, I can understand what the parties are. she has a dereliction problem
and,
as well.
And Sinn Féin, Andrew Murphy, we've been in touch with them this morning, asking them to react to Arlene Foster's delivery of her red line, that an Irish Language Act is non-negotiable. Sinn Féin refusing to be drawn on that this morning. They pointed us to an interview with Mary Lou McDonald that was done before Arlene Foster said it. So Sinn Féin not prepared to be drawn, certainly, since Arlene Foster has sent them that red line. They'll have to be drawn on it at some stage, Andre.
I suppose Sinn Féin are more than on the record around where they are in the Irish Language Act and what's required around around language rights. I think that Alex is right that you do have, the two parties have massive mandates for the positions that they're in. But for Sinn Féin, and, you know, I also hear people frustrated around services and around funding. But what I hear equally, and it's important to know, is that no one wants, that I speak to, wants the institutions up on the same basis that they were up before. Absolutely no one. People are more than happy to sit back and say, well, you know, that rights have to be secured. It needs to be a transformed type of executive that we can have a confidence in. And, you know, they're not going to have any confidence in something where this approach of going, we don't need to negotiate, we don't need to change, we don't need to ensure that rights are enacted, is going to be in the context of that. You know, look at the inquest thing. You know, Arlene Foster personally named for acting illegally around the funding of inquests, along with the other with the other agencies, and absolutely no pressure on her to do anything about that. No pressure on them to ensure that there's funding for inquests. That is an incredible situation and indicative of the reason why people are happy to. They do want sustainable governments. They do want to have agencies doing their jobs and proper decision making. Happening locally, but they don't want the type of government we had before.
Here's Janet Mueller now from the Irish language organisation Pobble. Good morning to you, Janet.
Hiya.
Well, you've been sent the message this morning. You are not getting an Irish Language Act under any circumstances.
Well, we've been sent that message many, many times, unfortunately. And I think that, you know, it's only a couple of years since international experts on the Framework Convention, which is applicable in the north and throughout the UK and Ireland, you know, those experts looked very independently at what was happening here in relation to the Irish language and said that the blocking of the Irish Language Act was based on sectarian actions. And I think that that's simply what's being reiterated here. We know that, unfortunately, the DUP has taken a very negative approach on an issue that really could be a very much a shared issue that's of interest to everyone. And she's simply reiterating that point, and I think that that's unfortunate, but it's not surprising.
Well, Arlene Foster would say this has nothing to do with being sectarian. Arlene Foster would presumably say, let's look at the costs of this, let's look at the need for this. Let me just get your gut instinct reaction, Janet, when you hear what she has unequivocally told your community and Sinn Féin this morning.
It is non-negotiable, and that has been told to Sinn Féin on a number of occasions. And yet they continue to persist while tolling the rest of Northern Ireland to ransom. The rest of Northern Ireland wants a devolved administration to deal with all of the issues that I've mentioned, and yet Sinn Féin continue to hold us out from having a devolved administration. And it's time. It is long past the time when Sinn Féin were called out for holding everybody to ransom in Northern Ireland. We need a devolved administration, and we need it today.
Your gut instinct reaction to that, Janet?
Well, we've heard it all before. We've heard it over months and months and months of a logjam where the two main political parties couldn't come to an agreement. And the documentation that was leaked following the breakdown of the talks in February, quite frankly, would have done nothing to move the Irish language forward at all anyway. It would simply have maintained the position where the Irish language is kept as a political football. So I think that nothing has changed here. I think that what has happened is, because it's coming to the end of the summer recess, the Irish government and the British government and maybe the political parties are looking at where they go from here, because I think they're very conscious that, you know, there has been no movement on any issue at all in relation to the Assembly for so long.
Let me bring in Michael and Newton Abbey. Morning, Michael.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, I hope you take this the right way, but why are you absolutely only playing the answer to a specific question? This morning, Arlene Foster was asked a specific question.
And she answered it.
Excuse me, yes, but Stephen, listen carefully, please. Put the question. The question was on a standalone Irish Language Act. That's what the question was. It was not on an Irish Language Act. It was on a standalone Irish Language Act. So you're selling an untruth here, Stephen. You play the question.
What's the difference, by the way?
I tell you what the difference is. The difference is that all parties have agreed in respect to a Languages Act, a Cultural and Languages Act. There is no one has agreed to a standalone Irish Language Act. That's what the difference is, because there's cost implications, there's cultural, there's all sorts of implications in that on a standalone Irish Language Act.
Right, okay.
No one has to. So
okay,
please,
so you think,
Stephen,
so we will go back. Yes, we're prepared to put the question in. Unequivocally, we're prepared to put the question in. But it's either an Irish Language Act, it's either a duck or it's not.
Stephen,
so it's either an Irish Language Act or it's not.
Sorry, you're wrong, Stephen. It's either a standalone Irish language or it's a language act.
Yes, but what? Sorry.
I as a Protestant, Stephen, have absolutely no difficulties, none whatsoever, in people speaking Irish and an Irish language act being incorporated within a languages act. None whatsoever.
But there you go. You've just answered my question for me. So it would be an Irish language act, whether it was within anything else or not. And by the way, you're right. The question was standalone Irish language act. No problem saying that. But it's either an Irish language act, no matter what it's within or without, it's either an Irish language act or it's not.
But Stephen, the difference is that Sinn Féin is demanding a red line, a standalone Irish language act. So why don't you put that other side? The red line of Sinn Féin is a standalone Irish Language Act. The red line.
They're not getting it.
Sorry. The red line of the DUP is a non-standalone Irish Language Act. Please tell the whole
Sinn Féin. Okay, we're telling it this morning. Sinn Féin want a standalone Irish Language Act. They're not getting it.
Thank you.
That's the story. So how can Sinn Féin?
Stephen, you're spinning it again, Stephen.
Okay. Well, let's stand
you're
back. Let's not
it.
Shout
Please
over each other. Okay. Let's not start shout over each other.
Thank you.
And let's just state this where we're at. Here's where we're at. Sinn Féin say they want a standalone Irish Language Act.
Yes, legislation.
Arlene Foster says non-negotiable. You're not getting it. Now, Alex Kane, can I ask you this? Will this actually strengthen Arlene Foster's popularity within her base, within the unionist community, because she's standing up to the bogeymen of Sinn Féin? Or are the days, Alex Kane, of looking at Sinn Féin as bogeymen within the unionist community over, and actually, rather than standing up to them, this community throughout Northern Ireland wants someone like Arlene Foster to find agreement rather than deliver red lines? Which is it?
I think in terms of it's the position is the same. Your previous caller is right. She said no to a standalone Irish Language Act, even though there appeared to be discussions going on back in last November, December, January, into early February about a standalone Irish Language Act. DUP spokesman made it clear then, they made it clear after that there would not be a standalone, that they might consider something inside the general parameters of Ulster Scots and protection for minority languages. The question now, Stephen, is Sinn Féin saying to the DUP, we don't want to talk unless there is a standalone Irish Act, in which case you're saying, well, there's not going to be one. So it's up to Sinn Féin to some extent to say, well, actually, we will look at a wider parameter. But as I said to you earlier, Stephen, that is something they will decide. It's almost ironic that they both now know where they stand, very clearly where they stand. So they have to decide in October, do they want to talk? And if they decide to go into talk, Stephen, then yes, we can come on and say, yes, there's obviously room for negotiation we didn't expect 3 months ago. As it stands, I don't see that happening. As it stands, Arlene, as I said to you right at the beginning, she's not a strong leader, Stephen. She's weak. Some of it's her own problem. Some of it's other problems with the wider party and with Brexit and so on. But if you're saying, as what she said this morning, emboldened unionism, people say, right on, Arlene, and sent another 20,000 people to the DUP voting. I don't think so, because I think there's an element of unionism which really can accept, will not be happy with the standalone, never would have been happy with the standalone, but a broader Minority Languages Act, whether it's Irish or whatever, putting out all that, they could live with that, Stephen, but they failed to get that. They failed to get that in February. And the toxic nature of the relationship between both Sinn Féin and the DUP now, and the toxic nature of the general relationship between unionism and nationalism, republicanism, is so bad that it's diametrically changed in the past 6 months, Stephen. I think that's the big problem. And if you're asking me, you know, do I actually think there'll be a deal? A, there won't be a deal before Brexit, but I genuinely, honestly feel, I've said it for 2 or 3 years now, I genuinely don't see how these two parties, or any parties of unionism and republicanism, actually build a stable, consensual power sharing government. They just don't want to.
Let me just, before we go to the news this morning, Alex, also ask you for your reaction to Arlene Foster refusing to be drawn when she was asked, did she have confidence in Ian Paisley? She was asked if the DUP would endorse Ian Paisley if he decides to stand in a by-election in North Antrim. This is due to his sanction over the Sri Lankan holidays he took. Let's have a listen to her reply.
Well, I'm not making any comment on any of that because we're involved in a process within the party. I'm involved in that process, and therefore Ian deserves due process and fairness, and I'll not be making any further comment.
Have you confidence in him?
I'll not be making any further comment.
Have you confidence in him? And she won't be making any further comment, Alex.
Oh, that answer doesn't surprise me at all, Stephen. It goes back to my previous answer. She's not a strong leader. She doesn't want to pick a fight with Paisley. And all of the evidence would suggest, and I would agree
with to her, if she's involved in a process, how can she preempt the conclusion of that process? Was that not the right thing to do?
Stephen, she could have said it, I think it was 2 weeks ago, when before the party had suspended, and there was a period of it becoming news with the commissioner's report, and I think 5, 6, 7 days. In fact, it was a week later before the party officially suspended them. There was a moment then she could have said something. She chose not. She doesn't want to pick this fight, Stephen, because before the 2015 Act, she could have done. There wouldn't have been a by-election called. It wouldn't have been possible. There is a possibility now of a by-election. There will be some people in the DUP leadership who want Ian gone for all sorts of reasons. They want him out. She thinks maybe they do as well. If it comes to by-elections, he's going to stand anywhere as an independent. He'll probably win the seat. That's a huge problem for her too. I'm not defending her in this one, Stephen. I'm just saying, as someone who was a formerly director of communications, I can tell you there's no way of answering that question without starting a fight on one side or the other.
And do you think Ian Paisley will draw any meaning from her refusing to endorse him today?
No, I don't think Ian cares one way or the other. My understanding is that Ian is pretty confident he can win. I suspect he would stand as an independent. He made it quite clear he will stand. He will fight for his honour, for his reputation, for his seat, for his father's legacy. He will fight for all of that, irrespective of whether he's an official candidate or not. He's going to stand, Stephen. So to be honest, if she says that she backs him, the party fully endorses him. But how do they? That's the other problem. How do they fully endorse him? Because he's done something. He's got the biggest sentence in, 70 years or something like that. It's very uncomfortable for them. It's embarrassing for them if she's seen to back him.
Biggest
and
punishment.
People go, you agree with what he's done. You don't care about what he cannot answer that question statement for her.